Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having a fantastic day. I'm talking to you live from Austin, Texas, and you're listening to America's Best and Most Listened to Fitness Show, The Curtis Harwell Show. We've almost reached 5 million listens. I think we're about 200,000 away, so we're getting pretty close, and I'm your host, Curtis Harwell. Thank you for listening today. And also, I'd like to thank all of the listeners who've made us the most listened to fitness show on the internet. We do the show for you. And if you'd like to participate in the show today, you can call in at 347-850-8748. You can also get me on Facebook at Curtis Harwell, and you can get me at Curtis Harwell Fit, and you can get me at Curtis Harwell Talk Radio on Facebook. If you'd like to get me on Twitter, you can get me at Curtis Harwell BB for bodybuilder, and you can reach me over there. We're going to have a fantastic show today. Today's part two of the show that we had on Monday, and the topic that we covered on Monday, we discussed the top five health concerns for women and men, and so today we're going to have part two. Just didn't quite have enough time to get to the part two for men on Monday. And just briefly, what I'd like to do is just go over some of the main highlights of the show on Monday, just in case you didn't listen to the show, ladies, talking about health concerns, the top five health concerns for ladies. And number one, absolutely, is heart disease. Number two, breast cancer. Number three is osteoporosis. Number four is depression. And a lot of you really don't think of depression as a health concern, but it is, because with a depression, if you're depressed, it affects all of your system. It affects your thyroid. It affects your adrenal system. It affects everything, how you feel, how you sleep, how you wake up, how you operate, how you metabolize your food, how your body stores fat. So depression is huge. And lastly, another one that you really don't think a lot of times about is your autoimmune disease. So or autoimmune diseases. And those are the five, you know, big main areas of concern for ladies. And ladies, and keep in mind, heart disease is the leading killer for both men and women. And then for women, heart disease is responsible for nearly 29% of all deaths. So heart disease is right up there. A lot of times you don't think about it, but you need to, from an early age, to start thinking about taking care of yourself. The older you get, you have to realize every day that you live, every function in the body, everything that you have that operates in the human body is being reduced every day in its function. And it's just the way that it is. It doesn't matter how much you go to the gym, how great you eat, anything else. It's, you know, laughingly, we always say there's two things that we can count on in life is death and taxes. And that's absolutely for sure. So, you know, you have to do the thing starting from an early age that's going to set yourself up for latter life. And I'm when I even say latter life, I know we jokingly today say, you know, the 40 today is like 20, what 20 used to be, and what 50 is today is what 30 used to be, and what 60 is today is what it used to be when you were 40. So, and maybe some of that may ring true, but for the most part, just keep in mind every day that you exist, every day that the good Lord gives you the opportunity to live, you know, there are little things that's going around, going wrong. So you need to take care of yourself, and it's absolutely imperative that you do. And again, you know, the heart disease comes with increasing age if you don't take care of yourself, and especially with men. And men develop heart disease at a much younger age than women do. It's not a disease that you typically find in younger women, and heredity plays a huge part of it, and including race, and when it comes to heart disease. So, you know, you know, if you have a family history of the disease, if you're at a greater risk, African Americans are at greater risk, Mexican Americans, Native Americans, and even Native Hawaiians and some Asian Americans, they are, you know, in that high risk group. You really are. One of the top things that you can do to prevent heart disease: stop smoking. If you're smoking, stop. Do whatever it takes to stop smoking. Secondly, high blood cholesterol. Work with good eating habits, good exercise habits, regular doctor visits every year to control your blood cholesterol. And then you have high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a huge killer. I have high blood pressure myself. I have to take medication every day to control my high blood pressure. And then even with the medication sometimes, because it's just something that I was born with, a lot of times it doesn't even matter what you eat. Your body just still produces that cholesterol. So you have to take medications to control it. So do the best that you can, you know, with the smoking, high blood cholesterol and high blood pressure. And last but not least, you know, physical inactivity. You have to get off of your butt, get off of the couch, do something, because when you don't do that, you're looking at the least being overly fat. At the worst, you're looking at being obese. And with those two things, then you have you created the perfect storm for diabetes. So work on those things, ladies. Those are the biggest things for you that you need to work on. As far as men are not too far from women. And, you know, although heart disease is the leading killer of both men and women, almost twice as many males die of heart disease and conditions that affect the cardiovascular system than women do. Okay. And the numbers bear out. One in four men, they all have some form of heart disease. And again, it is the leading cause of death. So, you know, the average annual rates for a man's first heart disease complication rises from 7 per 1,000 men. That's absolutely a bad number. It's not a very good number. And then when you look at men, you know, 35 to 44, it even gets worse. It jumps to 6 to 8 out of 1,000. At ages, you know, 85 to 94, it even goes up higher. So women do have similar rates, but they happen about 10 years later in life. So when men are looking already in their 30s and early 40s, for women it'll be early 40s and 50s before the heart disease complications start coming about. So you really take care of your heart. And then for men, heart disease does start to manifest itself about 10 years earlier than women, okay? And a lot of that has to do, again, with lots of work, stress, you know, things like that. You know, so men have a shorter time to prevent the development of the condition of heart disease as women do. So men's overall risk is just much greater. So men, you need to get out there and you need to start taking care of yourselves in your 20s and your 30s. Now let's look at some of the risk factors that are involved with the heart and heart attacks and heart disease. Again, just like women's, it's increasing age. As you increase in age, you're at a greater risk. If you don't take care of yourself, if you don't have a good dietary lifestyle, if you don't exercise, if you don't push yourself, it doesn't matter what your age is, you should be doing some type of high-intensity training at what you can do at your age, because your heart has to be pushed to keep it fit. Again, males are more susceptible to heart disease than women. And again, we look at family history and race. The same thing goes for men as women, but even more so for African Americans and Mexican Americans. But it also involves, again, just like women, Native Americans, Native Hawaiians, and some Asian Americans too. So ethnicity does play a large role in heart disease. Again, smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, physical inactivity, obesity, being overly fat, and those two things, again, just as in women, will develop diabetes. So all of those things you need to work on a daily basis to try and combat them, okay? And then just keep in mind, things such as age and sex obviously cannot be controlled. It just can't. But if you just modify your lifestyle, how you eat, and making sure that you eat right most of the time, and then if you exercise, these two things can reduce your risk of heart disease greatly, believe it or not. So at a minimum, we need, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything about age and sex. So those things you have no control over. But if you modify how you eat, your lifestyle, I like a diet I think that works very well, is 50% protein, 30% carbohydrates, 20% fat. It gives you a great ratio, gives you a terrific metabolic boost, and a body then can burn more fat that you have for energy. So look at those things to help. Now, number two for men, which is not the same for women, are strokes. Okay. Now, strokes in men is the third leading killer in this country after heart disease and all forms of cancer. Okay. Okay. So the incident rate of stroke is about 1.25 times greater in men than women. That's pretty significant. Now, although there really isn't any difference between the sexes, as people get older, this still has a greater risk for men 1.25 times. Okay, so and we do know it that a very important risk factor for stroke is hypertension or high blood pressure. So the control of hypertension or high blood pressure is absolutely a critical factor to try to prevent the onset of stroke. So, and as they, you know, you probably heard people say, you know, high blood pressure is a silent killer. Well, high blood pressure affects a whole lot of systems in the body. I mean, it can even affect your vision. So, you have to make sure that you get control of your blood pressure. It affects your kidneys. It affects a lot of systems in the body. So you need to have it under control. If you don't, it can kill you. I know, again, I suffer from it myself, and I've had my blood pressure so high, I thought the top of the machine was going to blow. So it is critical that you take care of hypertension. And again, this is another risk that is higher in the African American population. So they African Americans are at greater risk for high blood pressure. So you really need to take a look at that. Now, let's look at some of the risk factors for stroke. Now, Again, something that we can't control is increasing age. You know, and again, as I said earlier in the show, we can't control our age. We're getting older every day as long as we live. And so that we can't control, okay? But we can control the other factors that will slow down the deterioration of the body. Another risk factor is race, as I mentioned. We're talking about African Americans have a greater risk than whites when it comes to strokes. Gender, and again, stroke is more common in men than in women. Now, this is true up until about the age between 70 and 75. So it seems some way, somehow, men and women are kind of equal after they hit 70 when it comes to stroke. Personal history of a stroke in the family, that's very important too. Diabetes, again, if you have diabetes, it is a risk factor for strokes. High cholesterol, again, any type of heart disease, again, is a factor, risk factor when it comes to strokes. And then, again, smoking. We come back to smoking. And this not only includes smoking yourself, but secondhand smoke. Secondhand smoke can involve other people around you, especially on a daily basis. If you're a husband or wife and you smoke around the kids, or, you know, it can be very difficult on them. And so smoking and secondhand smoke, absolute risk factor for strokes. Physical inactivity, you know, this is going to be most common for everything. Obesity, and last but not least, alcohol and substance abuse. And those weigh heavy when it comes to risk for strokes, okay? So in many ways, you know, behaviors that can reduce the risk of stroke mirror those that can reduce the risk of heart disease, okay? So a lot of things that you do that's going to help your heart, most of those things, if you do those things, they are going to reduce your risk of having a stroke. Now, we do need to recognize that a healthy lifestyle, dietary factors and exercise, absolute reduces the risk of people getting hypertension. So, and reducing your hypertension will reduce your risk of stroke. So you need to, you know, absolutely, you know, go to your doctor. If you haven't had your blood pressure taken in a while, you can even go to Walmart. You can go to many drugstores. They have places in there that you can take your high blood pressure. Usually those can be off 5 to 10 points on the machine, but they give you an accurate reading. So if you go in and you take a reading and you're 118 over 60, you're probably in really good shape. But if you go in and you go to Walmart and you take a blood pressure and you're somewhere around 140, 145, 150 over 90, make a doctor's appointment. Go in, have your doctor take your blood pressure, and then they may at first have you work on your diet, take care of the diet, and get you on an exercise program. If that doesn't work, then they'll get you on medication, but you have to get it control. And again, remember, these things more commonly happen to people as they get older, but don't really look at it that as you get older, it's inevitable. Because it isn't. It is not inevitable that you're going to have a stroke, okay? Take care of yourself. Do all of the things that you can do to reduce the risk, and you have more than 75 or 80% chance that you'll never have a stroke. Another risk factor or thing that we look at as far as health for men, and again, this is one that most of us would look at would be suicide and depression. Men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide compared to women, okay? And most of this comes from because you know, men are a lot of times underdiagnosed with depression. You know, men, you know, they'll have stress at work, stress at home, may not have the greatest relationship in the world. Just things happen, and a lot of times they don't want to admit that they're depressed. And when they don't admit that they're depressed, then a lot of times the doctor, again, will underdiagnose it, and so then you don't get treatment, and it gets worse. So, and men are more prone to suicide because they're less likely to openly show depression again and have somebody else recognize it early enough to treat it. And a lot of times they don't even recognize it themselves that they're in trouble because, again, men, for the most part, don't ever want to recognize, you know, weakness. They really don't want to do that. And actually the numbers that they're looking at that men commit suicide actually could be even greater than what we even think that they are because of misdiagnosis and things like that. So, and so depression may play out in a lot of different ways in men. So the things to look for when it comes to depression out there, guys, we're looking at anger, aggression, work burnout. When you start taking risks that you normally wouldn't take, your risk-taking behaviors, midlife crisis, alcohol and substance abuse are huge, too, when it comes to depression. And, you know, society and people around men will see the symptoms of depression in you. But a lot of times what they'll just say, it's, you know, that you're just being a guy or you're having a hard time. And so, you know, the problem is that if they are signs of depression and they're getting bad enough, then many of the men out there will start to form thoughts that life isn't really worth living. So if you see signs, you know, if your husband, your brother, your father, you know, if you see these signs, act on them. Let them know that you care. Now, to help men with depression and to reduce the risk of suicide, doctors and loved ones and men themselves need to recognize the society's model of masculinity. You know, when we want to ignore pain, can work through, you know, we can work through anything. It actually can work against us and work against men. And so looking the other way may trigger depression and thoughts of suicide. So, you know, if you see it, act on it and do something about it. Another thing that a leading health problem in men is lung cancer. Now, lung cancer is the leading cancer killer of both men and women. And lung cancer claims more lives than prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, all of those combined. And then so they're expected to be about almost 214,000 new cases of lung cancer. And just keep in mind, you know, there's going to be, out of those, there'll be 160,000 or so lung cancer deaths this year. That's a ton. But the good news is that the rate of new lung cancer causes has been dropped since the 1980s. So it's getting better. And deaths from cancer have fallen since the 1990s. And the reason behind this is because of the drop in the prevalence and the use of tobacco and smoking. And also using chew, anything. And this is prevalent in men. Men are absolutely stopping smoking at a higher rate. So other risk factors that you look for cancer, again, exposure to secondhand smoke, which is not good. So parents, if you're smoking around your children, you got to stop. You got to stop doing that. Or husbands and wives, boyfriend, girlfriends, brothers, sisters, you just have to stop smoking. It's good that you stop completely, But if you can't do that, please don't smoke around other people. Things that you can, such as asbestos or radon exposure, those can cause cancer. Also, if you have a personal history as far as a mom, dad, grandfather, grandmother, however you have it in the family, again, that puts you at greater risk if you have a family history or a personal history of cancer. And another one is air pollution. So if you want to stay away from as much pollution as you can as far as air pollution, and like they say, you know it when you see it. So now, again, tobacco products are responsible for about 90% of lung cancer, which puts the weight of prevention efforts on smoking cessation or stopping smoking. So if you're smoking, stop it. There's no benefit to it. Now, and if you're thinking about kicking the habit, you know, go to your doctor, see if your doctor can help you. You can also go to the American Cancer Society for help on smoking. And you can also do the National Cancer Institute smoking quit line. So if you get a hold of them, you can, they'll work with you. And a lot of times if you can't afford it, they will help you with the fees and whatever you need to get through the program. And, you know, as soon as you can stop smoking, your chances of getting cancer from smoking begins to shrink, okay? So as you stop smoking, slow down smoking, your smoking risk, when you smoke, the risk that it gives you for cancer starts to shrink. And this will absolutely help you prevent further damage to your lungs. So smoking, if you're doing it, stop it. If you can't stop it by yourself, get some help. And so you can do that because it's going to help your life. Another thing that we look at is a concern for men is prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer found in men. And it is the second leading type of cancer death in men, and that's after lung cancer. And there's really not enough known about what causes prostate cancer and how to prevent it. The disease is treatable if they find it in the early stages. Now, it is a big challenge to catch prostate cancer early. You know, especially if you're not showing any symptoms. So a lot of times they don't catch it until it's spread to other parts of the body. And so this is why it is so important to have a doctor get regular checkups. And there's the more often that you can get a prostate cancer screening, the better chances that you have to catch it in the early stages if you do have it. So, and you want to start these annually for sure when you hit the age of 50. If you can do them before then, please do. But you need to get the prostate cancer checks. So now, although older age is a risk factor for prostate cancer, younger men should not be complacent when it comes to prostate cancer. And keep in mind, 30% of prostate cancers occur in men under the age of 65. And then the younger that you are, if you have prostate cancer, the more aggressive the tumor will be. So if you have prostate cancer when you're younger, the cancer will be very aggressive. So that's why it's very important when you do your yearly checkups to make sure that you get your prostate checked every time that you get a chance with your doctor. Well, I appreciate everybody listening to the show. We're almost out of time here today. We'll have another show tomorrow. We'll be out on Friday and Saturday, so we won't have a show on Friday, but we'll have Friday's show tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the show. You have a great afternoon. If you don't listen on Friday, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next weekend.